This is the WMRA Daily Podcast for Friday, May 8th, 2026. I'm Chris Boros. Recent hikes in fast food prices have left many diners cold, but the average American still goes out to eat between 5 and 6 times a week. Where they're choosing to go, though, amid economic uncertainty, high gas and grocery prices might surprise you. WMRA's Christine Cuter reports.
Breakfast cook Brian Spitzer is making pancakes and eggs to order at Thomas House Restaurant in Dayton as customers lumber in before the sun comes up.
And they say the first one that you make is always the ugliest. Pancakes always get better the more you cook them.
Thomas House has served diners for nearly 80 years. Brenda and Jack Carney, its third owners, bought the Shenandoah Valley property in 2019 and rehabbed part of the 200-year-old brick building into Airbnb rentals. They also added their own menu twists to the popular restaurant: daily fried chicken, in-house made spice-rubbed smoked turkey and pork, meals to go, and, for the first time in the eatery's history, the ability to pay by credit card. The Carneys winnowed their menu, no more sides of items like raspberry fluff, for example, and source much of their food locally, like eggs, which keep prices low. It's why diners such as Jay Holsinger, a machinist at Schickel Corporation in Bridgewater, can get a plate of eggs, bacon, toast, and coffee for about $8. Turkey farmer Ralph Roer of Clover Hill and L.B. Hoddle of Mount Solon, a newly retired auto body worker, typically get breakfast for under $10.
Good food, reasonable prices. Friendly people,
says Hoddle, who usually orders a pancake smothered in country gravy and a coffee.
McDonald's, you can't eat for $7 at McDonald's.
Even with gas north of $4 a gallon and higher grocery, electricity, and childcare bills, Americans still eat out about 5 to 6 times a week. And while fast food chains are trying to claw their way back to profitability, some value-seeking diners have changed their habits.
So the winners are winning because they're providing great value for money.
Chuck Howard is an associate professor at Darden School of Business.
Going to a restaurant to sit down and eat a meal with your spouse or your family, it's a different experience than going to McDonald's or Wendy's. But the price point isn't that different, even though the quality is substantially higher. And so that's gone a long way towards winning customers' favor and increasing interest in the product.
In the fourth quarter of 2025, sit-down chain restaurants such as Chili's reported strong sales and foot traffic, unlike fast food establishments, which saw them decline. Full-service restaurants actually led transaction growth in 2025, according to a Kinsey report, which found value and price concerned diners most. With rising meat, paper, and labor costs, the average price of a McDonald's menu item has increased by 40% between 2019 and 2024. A medium order of its French fries is up 44%. The spike, felt industry-wide, fried both foot traffic and profits. To lure cost-conscious diners back, chains like McDonald's and Taco Bell launched new value menus this year. At Thomas House, a pulled pork barbecue lunch with 2 sides and a corn muffin costs $10.99. The Tuesday turkey lunch special costs $9.49. An order of 6 homemade corn muffins to go costs about $3, according to owner Brenda Carney.
And you get more food and better quality. I don't think you can beat it, really.
2 counties over in Monterey, waiter Paul Morgan is serving lunch to a dozen diners at High's Restaurant. People occasionally gripe about High's $16 burger, he says.
If you go to Burger King right now and try to get one meal as a grown man, you'll spend at least $14, and that's probably the low end. So I think that people are starting to realize that the extra couple dollars are worth it at a sit-down restaurant or a higher quality amount of food. We have a $16 burger. It's a half-pound burger. When you go to McDonald's or Burger King, I think it's like an eighth or something like that. So there's much more bang for your buck here at High's or in other sit-down places as well. I agree.
Darden professor Howard, who spent a decade managing restaurants, says bot and AI-weary patrons are also increasingly seeking fellowship.
Particularly in smaller communities where a diner or a cafe has likely been a third space for people to meet at, that carries a lot of weight with consumers. So ultimately, when their budget shrinks, that'll be the last place that they'll continue to go. People will crave the human connection that you can only find in places like restaurants, cafes, bars, and so on. So to me, I think that will lead to pretty steady demand for some type of in-person interaction in the food and beverage industry, at least for so long as the economy remains healthy.
The average American household spends about $4,000 a year on eating out, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which accounts for more than half of American households' annual food and beverage purchases. McDonald's released its first quarter report today, which beat analysts' expectations. Still, its stock price today is about 12% less than it was on the same day last year. For WMRA News, I'm Christine Cuter.
Find photos from this story and links to more information at WMRA.org or use the app. Greg Bissonette has drummed for dozens of artists over his 40-year career. Bissonette shared tips and tricks during a workshop in Harrisonburg on Wednesday night. WMRA's Calvin Pinn was there.
Greg Bissonette kicked off the workshop drumming to a medley of songs across several different genres, from jazz to Afro-Cuban to rock to dubstep. That was just a taste of the many different styles Bissonette has played in his more than 40-year career as both a session and touring drummer. Prior to his most recent ongoing gig drumming for Ringo Starr, Bissonette sat behind the kit for Maynard Ferguson, David Lee Roth, Joe Satriani, and Toto, among others. He said the key to transitioning between different styles of music as a drummer comes down to taste.
To play different styles, you have to like the styles. If you're not a fan of the style, and you don't listen to it, you're not going to play it that well.
Bissonette shared that wisdom with dozens of people at Arts Incarnate in downtown Harrisonburg Wednesday night. Hometown Music organized the free workshop to raise funds for the music school and community space Rocktown House of Music through a raffle. The prizes were different types of drums, including the kit Bissonette played through the evening. Bissonette stressed the importance of communicating with fellow musicians. He said an easygoing nature counts as much for that skill as an ability to keep time.
Half of the pie is how you play. The other half is, are you a good person? Somebody that people want to be in a band with? Do you compliment people and lift them up?
There are still two playing styles Bissonette has yet to master. Even after decades as a professional drummer, he considers himself a student.
One of them is like that super drunk drumming. The other is super fast metal, like with the feet that are just like brrr. My feet don't go brrr. They go dig-a-dig-a-dig-a-dig-a. But you never know. I'm practicing, and I'm maybe going to get there someday.
For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
Find photos and links to more information at WMRA.org or use the app. Dominion Energy is proposing a massive natural gas plant in central Virginia. Patrick Larson with partner station VPM News explains.
The Cumberland Energy Center would generate 3 gigawatts at peak output, which is enough to power roughly 750,000 homes. That's nearly double the capacity of Dominion's largest operational gas plant in Virginia. It would also generate more power than the Coastal Virginia Offshore Wind Project, which started delivering electricity in May. Dominion still has to follow the Virginia Clean Economy Act, which requires the company to retire all carbon-emitting power stations by 2045, unless it can demonstrate a reliability need. That need became easier to prove with the rapid ongoing build-out of data centers. Commercial electricity sales have grown faster in Virginia than all states barring Texas since 2019. The project, slated for North Cumberland County along the James River, will be subject to review and public hearings by local and state government bodies.
That's Patrick Larson reporting. This week, the FBI searched an office and business connected to State Senator L. Louise Lucas. Jad Khalil with partner station VPM News reports on the lack of information around the incident.
We don't know a whole lot about what exactly federal law enforcement is looking for, or even who they are investigating. Both the FBI and the regional U.S. Attorney's Office didn't answer VPM News' specific questions. The FBI didn't even use Lucas's name in their response. In the absence of details, speculation abounds.
No, hell yeah, it's politically motivated. Like, what kind of game are we playing? Yes, it's politically motivated. We know that.
State Senator Lamont Bagby represents Richmond and Henrico. He also chairs the Democratic Party of Virginia. Democrats have pointed to Lucas's key role in the recent redistricting vote, which could get their party 4 more seats in Congress if it survives court challenges.
Well, Democrats are right to be suspicious.
Jeremy Mayer is a professor at George Mason University.
This is an administration that has, particularly in its second term, made no secret of its desire to weaponize the DOJ to go after its perceived enemies.
But that's not all, Mayer said.
Something can look incredibly biased and incredibly well-timed politically and yet not be political at all.
Who isn't saying anything right now? Republicans. They're sitting back and watching as one of Virginia's most prominent state lawmakers gets implicated in a potential scandal.
That's Jad Khalil reporting. Gasoline prices in the Commonwealth continue to climb, hitting a statewide average of $4.32, according to AAA. And Democrats in Richmond are hoping it may convince federal budget negotiators to look at growing the nation's electric vehicle infrastructure. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner has this.
I don't know what the term is, can't let our foot up off the gas when they're electric, but we can't let our foot up off the pedal.
That's Richmond Senator Mike Jones speaking to reporters Thursday morning with a plea for federal funding to support electric vehicle use in the Commonwealth. Among reasons for the need, the high price of gas. Alan Harnett is with the EV advocacy group Virginia Clean Cities.
We as Virginians often spend $50 million every day for gasoline and diesel. But in these recent weeks, we've been paying about $10 million every day more. Federal partnerships can lead us, can help us move toward affordability.
That number comes from U.S. Energy Administration data, which shows Virginians, as of 2021, were consuming about 8 million gallons of petroleum a day. Thursday's news conference aimed to thank Richmond Congresswoman Jennifer McClellan for her earlier work securing federal money to expand EV charging stations. McClellan said under the last administration, funds were supporting EV infrastructure across the country, but under Trump, such funds are less likely.
We're pointing out how their efforts to roll back, whether it's clean energy investments, energy efficiency, or EV investments, are counterproductive.
As for how growing EV usage in Virginia can save the rest of us money at the pump,
the more people are able to use electronic vehicles, the less demand for gas, and at a time when gas prices are spiking because of the war in Iran, the less demand for gas, the lower those costs will be.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Senator Luis Lucas isn't the only affected official in Virginia who is in the crosshairs of federal officials. Radio IQ's Michael Pope tells us about a new investigation in Fairfax County.
The Department of Justice says it formally launched a new investigation this week into Fairfax County Commonwealth's attorney Steve Descano. The announcement says federal officials will be looking into the possibility of sweetheart deals for undocumented immigrants charged with serious crimes. But former federal prosecutor Gene Rossi is skeptical. He says the point may be the announcement rather than the investigation.
They know they're not going to find anything, but they just want to embarrass Steve Descano's office and him and make a point about undocumented persons. It's just the action itself, not the result, that they're caring about.
Legal expert Rich Kelsey was struck by a line in the announcement saying the DOJ has conducted similar investigations where violations have been found.
I have personally never heard of an investigation into a law enforcement agency for giving preferential treatment to non-citizens as a manner to discriminate against U.S. citizens. I've never heard of that in my entire life. They make it seem like they've done this before. My guess is they have never done this before at the federal level.
The House Judiciary Committee has invited Descano and Fairfax County Sheriff Stacy Kincaid to appear for a hearing next week. Michael Pope.
Virginia Beach will spend $1 million to reassure visitors that it's a safe place to visit. WHRO's John Doucette has more.
On Tuesday, City Council authorized the spending for a marketing campaign after recent press about two shooting incidents at the oceanfront and efforts to curb violence and crowds with curfews. The marketing surge campaign hopes to fight possible perceptions and promote the city's family-friendly image. Councilmember Worth Remick says tourism brings millions of people here and adds billions to the economy.
And this is $1 million to protect that investment and protect our brand and our image here locally and across the world.
Also Tuesday, the city proposed adding $500,000 to its upcoming budget for more lighting and cameras at the oceanfront. Council is scheduled to vote on the budget May 12th.
That was John Doucette reporting for partner station WHRO News. The FBI's raid on Virginia Senator Luis Lucas's Portsmouth office and cannabis dispensary made local, state, and national headlines this week. Michael Pope and Radio IQ politics analyst Jeff Shapiro discussed that and more in state politics and government.
All right, a lot of news to get to this week, starting in Portsmouth, where we saw the FBI conduct a raid on the office of Senator Luis Lucas. And sometimes it seems like the theatrics around these things might be more important than the actual investigation. Jeff Shapiro, what do we make of all this?
Michael, we have no idea what the Department of Justice is doing. All we know is that according to the New York Times and MS Now, that an investigation of possible corruption began during the Biden years. And there is reporting as well that Lindsay Halligan, the very, very briefly the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Virginia, wanted to accelerate this investigation if only to give Republicans, particularly her boss, Donald Trump, something to talk about in the midterm elections. Senator Lucas, among the most powerful politicians in the state, the president pro tempore of the Senate, the chair of the Senate's budget committee, she's fighting mad about this and says this is nothing more than political revenge by Donald Trump for her, Lucas, leading this redistricting that, if it holds, could conceivably produce 10 Democratic congressional seats to one for Republicans. That would be up from 6D and 5R.
So back to redistricting, the statewide referendum passed successfully. However, the election has yet to be certified, and the deadline for certification came and went this week. The 14-day deadline came and went this week. We still don't have a certification of this election. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court of Virginia is still considering these three cases. When are they going to get around to making a ruling?
Well, this first case, these first two cases have to do with highly technical questions on which a reversal of the referendum is entirely possible. One of the big questions is, what constitutes an election? So the Supreme Court needs to resolve that matter. So it's entirely possible that Virginia voters could have a particular wish about the direction of mid-decade redistricting, and the Supreme Court of Virginia could reverse their wishes. There's another case heading to the Virginia Supreme Court, also filed by Republicans. It originated in the Circuit Court of Richmond, and it argues that the boundaries that the Democrats have been pushing in these redrawn districts violate the Virginia constitutional standards that these districts be compact, contiguous, and reflect shared interests, so-called communities of interest. I think it's possible that if the referendum is reversed, that some of these other cases may not be taken up by the court.
And also, we've got new data, new numbers on the projected power consumption of data centers. What is this new information telling us?
This is a fascinating bit of reporting by my former colleague at the Times-Dispatch, David Ress, drawing from a snapshot prepared for Wall Street by Dominion Energy. And according to the utility, these data centers, and remember, Virginia has more of them than any state in the country, will need enough electricity downrange to power 12.7 million households. That's four times the current total of Virginia households. And of course, at the center of this continuing budget standoff, it involves Senator Lucas and Governor Spanberger, is what to do about these tax breaks for the data centers. There's another issue as well, legislation that the governor is considering that could shift the cost of electricity to the data centers and away from the broader consumer base.
All right, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we have been joined by politics analyst and UVA scholar Jeff Shapiro. Talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
This has been the WMRA Daily Podcast for Friday, May 8th, 2026. Thanks for listening. I'm Chris Boros.